we left off last week with the question of the Chorobot, with that on the one hand we have a lot of that Adam Shlomo Gosha, does that pose a problem on the level of the Raisa? If a woman is bleeding but she doesn't even, not even aware of the fact that she's bleeding, obviously that's not Bar Gosha. On the other hand, we find there's an obligation for a Zava, which for us translates to even all women, to do B'dikas to Rekshiv Nikiyim. And the Pashtus, at least in the Beis Yosef, is that the B'dikas are obligated in the Torah. The question is, how can you have B'dikas that are obligated in the Torah? What exactly are you looking for? If you're looking for Dab that she already knows exists, what are you doing B'dikah for? If you're looking for Dab that she doesn't know exists, even if you find it, it doesn't matter, because it wasn't the Tameh anyway, because it was Shlomo Agosha. So we can't quite wrap our hands around what exactly is the purpose of B'dikas at the level of the Raisa. The quote of last week, Achidish Gadol from the Chavis Das, from the Balai Nesivis. The Chavis Das says that when does the Halacha require Hagosha in order to be Metame the woman? That's only B'tchilas HaRa'iyah. But if she already had a Ra'iyah by Hagosha, and now we're trying to figure out whether she's Soseris, whether a subsequent Ra'iyah is going to come to mind, is going to cancel the Kalpush of Nikiyim, then no, says the Chavis Das, even a Ra'iyah Shalom by Hagosha poses a problem on the level of the Raisa. If that's the case, that the Chavis Das says, and that means that all Ksavim during Shiva Nikim Adir Raisa. So he said, no, a famous word from the Chavis Das, there are two halachas. If you look carefully in the Gemara Nida, there are actually two different sugyas about Ksavim. One sugya of Ksavim means that the woman doesn't even know the blood came from that area. She has a mapa, she's not sure where the blood came from. So that's one kula, Minatora. And then there's a second kula, even though she knows exactly where the dam came from, she's still okay, provided that it was Shalom Bragosha. Chavis Das says it's only that second din that disappears during Shiva Nikiyim. First din is still there. The fact that there's a suffix where the blood came from, there's a real bona fide suffix where the blood came from, so that's not a problem even during Shiva Nikiyim. If we know where the blood came from, we just move to Hagosha, so then we say that the original Hagosha almost carries over, and we view this as being a continuation of that original Hagosha. The problem with the Chavis Das is that it changes all the details of Shiva Nikiyim. What it basically means is that all the kulas that we're familiar with in Hopes Ksavim, namely if it's a very, very small kesef, or if it's a kesef with something which is named Kabbal Tuma, or if it's a kesef with color, all of those leniencies just fell by the wayside. Because all of those leniencies are all predicated on the assumption that we're only dealing with the Derabbanan. According to the Chavis Das, any Riyaz Dab during Shiva Nikiyim is a Chashash with Deraisa. So Shlomo Zalman pointed out that it's interesting, Shlomo Tarim, but it doesn't seem to match up the halacha in terms of how we follow the halacha. So do we have any other approaches to this dilemma? So there is another suggestion given by the Sidre Tara. Probably the Chavis Das and the Sidre Tara were the two classic achronim in the back of the Shulchan Aruch in Hilchos Nida. So the Sidre Tara offers a similar explanation, a little bit almost toned down in the Chavis Das. The Sidre Tara references a sugya that we spoke about earlier, a couple of weeks ago. There is a din that if a woman is in the middle of counting Shiva Nikiyim, sometimes something can happen that doesn't cancel the whole Shiva Nikiyim, but at least it declares that day doesn't count. That day is a blank. That day doesn't register in terms of the count of Shiva Nikiyim, but it doesn't throw the count off. It's not like Riyah's Dam that makes us start off from scratch. What is an example of that? So Riyah Shechazerah. If a woman had Tashmish at some point, either before Shiva Nikiyim or the middle of Shiva Nikiyim, it had to be a sort of case of being now she's paleta Shechazerah, now Shechazerah is coming out of her body. So Shechazerah is not a soser. Shechazerah doesn't knock off the entire count. But the Gemara says Shechazerah is soser liyoma. That day that she's experiencing paleta Shechazerah, so the Gemara dashes from Sukkim, that doesn't count on Shiva Nikiyim. So she was up to day one, day two, and now she has a paleta Shechazerah. So she can't say today's day three, today's day blank, and then tomorrow when the paleta Shechazerah is over, that becomes day three. That was the source for the entire issue that we have as Manazev, waiting 5 days before Shiva Nikiyim. That's what Tosfos writes, that how can a woman start counting Shiva Nikiyim until all concerns of Paleta Shechazerah have been taken care of? And the only way to do that, based on the math, based on the days of the amount of days that she's Paletas, is you have to wait 4 days or 5 days to determine exactly what number, the magic number is. So the Torah says, you see from that din, that you can have something that comes out of the woman's body that it's not so sad. It's not damnitis. It's not damnitis, not physically, not biologically damnitis, but it's so sad. It's something that's, it's a dover, a tome, it's coming out of a samapam, that's considered to be a dover associate for that day, albeit not for the entire camp. So the Siddur Torah says he thinks that dam shlobe ha-gosha is the same thing. How could dam shlobe ha-gosha be more lenient than shivazer? Shivazer is something different. So dam shlobe ha-gosha
is dam, it's dam nidus, albeit doesn't have the ability to be tami the woman to make her to a nida. It says the Sidri Tara, it doesn't have the ability to be soisa shivriki nida, but it does have the ability to be sosa chad yoima. It does lap off that day. So therefore, says the Sidri Tara, now we understand why the Torah is so concerned about a woman's in the middle of shivrikiyim. We better be extra cautious that she's not having any dam. What do you mean extra cautious? If she's not feeling anything, it doesn't count anyway. You're right, it doesn't count to knock off the entire count, but it does register, it does count to knock off that day. So therefore the requirement of bedikos min haTorah are similar to the Chavos Das. There is a requirement of bedikos min deraisa, but whereas according to the Chavos Das, we're looking for something that may throw off the entire count, according to the Sidri Tara, we're looking for something that may at least cancel that day, which is also a din min haTorah. So the Sidri Tara came to the same conclusion as the Chavos Das, that bedikos are required to address the issue of dam min haTorah, albeit not as severe, not as serious as the Chavos Das. Comes from Shlomo Zalman and says we have the same concern with the Sidri Tara, because according to the Sidri Tara's calculation, it comes out that Dam Shabobar HaGosha can pose a problem in HaTorah in the middle of Shabbat Kiyom. Not as bad a problem as the Chavos Das, not throw off the whole seven, but Min HaTorah to throw off the count at least by one day. So it says from Shlomo Zalman, if so, how can we ever be making any shilas in the middle of Shabbat Kiyom? A woman has Dam, and it's less than a gris. A woman has Dam, and it's on Davashir Rekabatullah. Woman has down, it's on Tzivonim. All those coolers are predicated on the assumption that we're not dealing with the deraisa here. The minute there's some chashash and is dam deraisa, whether it's Chavos Das, Tzivonim, you name it, so then all the coolers are off. It says, Roshon, no, we don't pass it away. There are most of the favorish in the Sivan about counting Shivat HaKiyim, that if a woman finds a kesef less than a gris in the middle of Shivat HaKiyim, she's fine. It's no different than the rest of the month. So says Roshon Bazalman, how in the world can that din square off with these chumras, these acharonim, the Chavos Das, the Mitara, all these cheshbonos, whether you like the chumra cheshbon or the kula cheshbon, at the end of the day, it's insisting that Dam Shlomo Ragosh is a tami and a level of deraisa, which is very, very difficult for us to justify in light of what it says in the Ramah.
According to both opinions,
it's
just that Yom, she wouldn't have to go to the mikvah.
No, she's still a surah from, she's still in the middle of counting Shivanikiyah. So she doesn't have to go to the mikvah, she has to start. Either start the entire count over again, or at least cancel that day. So is there any way to still salvage B'dikos and Lama Dera Isa and not to go down the route of the Chavos Das or the Sidri Tara? So there's some who suggest that maybe we've been looking at B'dikos almost through the wrong lens. We've been looking at B'dikos through the assumption that the goal of a B'dika is to ascertain that there's no blood. And then we've been in this corner and saying, well, let me ascertain there's no blood. There's no blood because if there is blood, it's not a problem because it was Shalom Ragosha. So maybe we have to recalculate a little bit and ask ourselves, why exactly is a woman doing B'dikos? I love their eyes. So what's the goal of B'dikos? So maybe one could argue, what sounds at first very strange, that the goal of B'dikos is not to make sure there's no blood. That's not the goal. If it's their blood, if she knows it's blood, great. If she doesn't know it's blood, it's also great. We already know that. We know whether it's halachic blood or not. The only blood that matters to us is Dam HaGosha. So why in the world is a woman doing B'dikos? Because the Torah says, V'safa lo shivas yom. The Torah says that she has to count 7 days. How does she count 7 days? What's the Maisa Sfira? So there were, one of the Echorim, the Shlach Kodesh, was of the opinion, when a woman is counting Shivat HaKiyim, it's like a mitzvah Sfira Sa'omer. When you say, wakes up in the morning, she has to say, today is the first day of Shivat HaKiyim. And the next morning is the second day. Third, she says, well, we have a Sfira B'peh. So then the Yehuda writes about that. He said, we never heard of such a thing. So the days of my Shavainu, we would have been counting Shivat HaKiyim. No one ever heard of a woman getting up, having a Sfira Sa'omer count, having a Sfira Shivat HaKiyim calendar. Never heard of such a thing. When a woman gets up in the morning, if there's no blood, she does a B'dika. Sure, that's the first day. Pecha day, say, there's a mitzvah of B'safa lo Sfira B'peh. The Yehuda writes about the Shloh. The Shloh is such a Heilig Heilig Yitzadim. That's why it's called HaKadosh. Very few people call HaKadosh in our Lashon. The Shloh was such a big tzadik, it was called the Nish HaKadosh. So the Yehuda writes, he was such a Nish Kadosh, it's a tzadik, it's a Nelem. The Pasuk says in Kehelas, Oye Kesef, Oye Yispa Kesef. And if a person loves money, they'll never get satiated with money. So I'll say, Oye Mitzvahs, Oye Yispa Mitzvahs. If a person loves mitzvahs, they're always running up to do another mitzvah. So the Yehuda writes a joke about the Shloh, he writes, such a Heilig Tzadik, he loved mitzvahs so much, 613 wasn't enough for him. So he made up a new one, the 614th mitzvah called Counting Sfir Shemiki B'Peh. So we don't follow the view of the Shloh. So, Imkein, what does V'Safrullah mean? How do you do V'Safrullah? So the Sabach Rebbe suggests that the V'Safrullah is the B'dikas, that they're doing a B'dikas and not just to make sure there's no blood. If they care, there's no blood, we'll figure that out on our own. The Sfira is the active participation of the woman in the count of Shivat HaKiyim. That's the goal of the B'dikas. If that's the golden tikkus, then the question doesn't get off the ground. So we start off with the question, what are you looking for? It's not a problem anyway. You're right. You're not looking for anything. It's not a problem anyway. It's dam shel rav Moshe. We couldn't care less than a Torah about it. But the woman has to do something. What's she going to do? Twiddle her thumb. She has to do something. So her putting a bdik cloth in and almost making believe that she's participating in the sphira, thus is the sphira shivinikim. All the achronim who don't say that lundus. So what did they think that v'safala means? So the pasha said, the is like the Rav Yudah says, v'safala just means that the dates go on. V'safala doesn't mean she has to actively count. V'safala just means that the days pass and nothing happened in the interim. There was no reason down in the interim. So when she gets to the seventh day, she realizes, ooh, I quote unquote counted 7 days. I didn't do anything. So what? V'safala is not a ma'aseh mitzvah. Sefiras Omer is a ma'aseh mitzvah. Sefiras Yes for Shemitah and Yom was a mitzvah on days. Sometimes the Torah speaks about the Sefer as being a ma'aseh mitzvah, and sometimes the Sefer is just the reality. The reality is that 7 days have passed, which is clean. There's no blood. Shem does it myself for Allah. How do you know which is which? That's the question. You have to have Ruach HaKodesh. You have to figure out how did Chazal figure out which mitzvahs are a sphere of a pen, which mitzvahs are not. Taisus addressed it, the Taisus Ksubas that seems to address that question. Getting back to that story, the Samach Rebbe writes that the Bedikas are required not al Tzri is Dam. The Bedikas are an independent requirement of to fulfill the din of the Sefer Allah. This is a very, very lovely question. Hopefully we'll probably talk about this more after the summer. This is a major question in the Rishonim. What is the goal of the Bedikas? What am I woman trying to accomplish with Bedikas? So the Pashta term is, she's trying to check whether there's blood. And others say, no, she's not trying to check whether there's blood. We already figured out our own. There isn't blood. What is she checking for? She's checking independently to fulfill the mitzvah sphira. The goal of the Bedikas is a mitzvah, almost b'fnei atzma, as a kimu sphira.
You wouldn't say if she missed the Vedika in the middle, because remember we said it, that she has to go and now.
So we're going to talk about that. So we're that's going to be the next step of the sugi about what is the minimum amount of Vedika that's necessary, whether you hold your Petaras Mavara down, whether you hold your Petaras Svira, the answer may be the same. We have to hopefully talk about that. So there is a fascinating shayla. I received the shayla 2 times already, not all that long ago, about the following shayla. You have a woman who became a Nida. And in the time before she had a chance to go to the mikvah, she had to have a hysterectomy. She had to have her uterus removed. So there was one woman who called me that she was in the middle of several children. She had in the middle of childbirth, something went wrong, and they had to do an emergency hysterectomy at the time. So now, when she comes time to do to go to the mikvah, so she wants to know, am I obligated to do bedikas? And another woman also, it wasn't in the context of childbirth, she also was in need for a while. And then she had to have this procedure done. And now, so a few weeks later, the doctor says, okay, you're medically healthy, you go to the mikveh now. The question was, does she have to undergo the bedikas or not? So one could argue, what in the world are you doing bedikas for? You don't have uterus anymore. So there's no blood. There's obviously not going to be any blood from the uterus if there's no uterus. What do I say? No. But lamais, you have to shivikiyah. There's no question, yeah, because you were in either from 6 weeks ago. So there's no question you have to undergo shivikiyah. But the question is, must the shivikiyah be accompanied by bedikas? So the answer to that question is, if you hold that the goal of bedikas are to be mevar, that there's no dam, in the chabur goal, we say, what do you need bedikas for? But if you hold that some of this independent halacha called sphira shivikiyah to be called an official sphira, so even though it's true there's no blood, we know there's no blood. We don't care if there's blood or not. Because a mitzvah sphere has to be accompanied to quote unquote county of the Shivnikim. That's a shal. I'll talk about that shal a little bit more after the summer. Getting back to the story. So everything we've been talking about up to now is assuming that the bedikas of Shivnikim are required in the Torah if the woman is a zav in the Torah. As matter of fact, most of the women today when they count Shivnikim are only in the Rabbanan, because the way the cycles work out, most of the time the woman gets a fairly normal time. So then the requirement of Shivanikim is only required with the Rabbanah because of the Chashash Zava. If you would have a woman who really, really is off, cycles are all off, and she's getting Riyas in the middle of the cycles, and she's becoming a Zava Gedolim in a Torah, that was the reason for the Gzeira, that's hard to keep track. So then Sphere Shivanikim would be required in a Torah. So we've been talking up till now about Sphere Shivanikim being required in the Raisa of the Rabbanah, and we've been assuming that the Bedik is a Sabah Midaraisa, either the Hamzdas, the Raisa, Siritara, or the other Achorim. But now we're not even sure that the premise of the last day, share and half, is really, really correct. Who told us that Bedikas are deraisa? We state Bedikas are deraisa. The Mishnah talks about doing Bedikas. The very end of Masechet Nida, the Mishnah holds off of Gemara about how many Bedikas you have to do. So there's no question that you have to do Bedikas. If she doesn't do the right amount, she cannot go to the mikvah. But who said that that's all the sugim in that Torah? The Gemara never quotes Pesukim for it. How do you know there's a din in deraisa? So it all started with a cryptic statement of the Beis Yosef. The was a machlokes in the Gemara and the Rishonim about a certain shayla about minimum amount of bedikas. So the Beis Yosef writes, we should be mach because we're dealing with the nisakaris. So all the Achorim said, ooh, we're dealing with the nisakaris. Asla dadar raisa. So the Chazanish suggests that maybe everybody went down the wrong path. So Chazanish says, maybe bedikas are only midirabon. The whole thing, it's such an easy adherent. What do you have to be machadish with chavastasis and retaras and spheres, all the kunsin that we've been talking about for the last year or so. Everything is derabbanan, even bedikas are derabbanan. So why did the Beis Yosef use such a harsh, strong phrase? It's a suffix deraisa. Says the Chazanish, he just meant ruchos nidus deraisa. Because we're going to be mach ruchos nida, even though the particular detail that we're dealing with is only a derabbanan bigger detail, ruchos nida in general is treated through the eyes of chumras. So we look at ruchos nida as a colloquial suffix deraisa. This particular detail, whether you nuance, whether you bedikas or not, this is not a deraisa. But if Chazanita is in their eyes, if Chazanita is in the course, that's why we tend to be, to err on the side of caution, we tend to be more machia. So now we have four different biurim in the Acharonim. What our take is on bedikas. Chavizdas says bedikas are needed in a Torah because Dam Shlom Vargosha is Soyser. The Sidritara says bedikas are needed in a Torah because Dam Shlom Vargosha canceled that day. According to some Acharonim, bedikas are their eyes, all the mitzvahs for Sofrala. According to the Chazanish, it's possible that the whole bedikas are in fact on the Midirabba. The Menhei slice that you require bedikas, and if a woman doesn't do the required amount of bedikas, she cannot go to the mikveh at all. The Minatar Midirabbanan. The question is, what are the required numbers of bedikas? So the Mishnah, the end of Sechaz Nida, all starts to sugya backwards. The Mishnah starts talking about a woman who didn't do the right amount. If a woman only did day one and day seven, what do you do at that point? The Mishnah quotes the three machlekes haTorah. What do you do? So both of the Rishonim start the sugya by saying that the premise of the sugya is that you're supposed to be doing bedikas every day. That's like a given. Of course you have to do bedikas every day. The Mishnah is talking about the woman who forgot. The Mishnah is talking about the woman who didn't get around to doing the right amount of bedikas. But the starting point is, of course you have to do bedikas every single day. B'savah shem yom, you have to count every day, you have to do bedikas every day of shemidikim. That's what most of the Rishonim, right? And the Balamor disagrees. The Balamor says, no. That the reason why the Mishnah starts talking about the woman doing bedikas in day one and day seven is because that's all you have to do, according to that Tana. The Gemara eventually says we pass like that Tana, but says the Balamor, there's no lechachil doing bedikas every day. You have to do whatever bedikas are necessary, have to be done. What's necessary? So we have the Paschal like that opinion, that one and seven are all that are absolutely necessary. So good says the Balamor, one and seven are necessary bedieven, and one and seven are necessary lechachil as well. So in Shulchan Aruch, we don't accept the Balamor. We pass it like Rav Rishonim, that the Mishnah wasn't even addressing the Lechet Chila situation. Lechet Chila, why do you have to do Bedikas every day? The Mishnah was addressing the Bedieved situation. The Poskim say that what if you have a woman who has difficulty doing Bedikas? She has irritations, she has other things, complications, she has abnormal bleeding in the middle of the cycle, she has all kind of stuff. But if she starts to do Bedikas the whole week, she's never going to make it to the mikveh. So the Poskim writes, that's called like a bidiyevid. We have a principle in Halacha Shas al Chaki bidiyevidami. Bidiyevid, literally in Arabic, means bidiyevad. It means after you did it already. Sometimes people say, I'm not so from, I just do things bidiyevid. That's not a correct term. Bidiyevid means it happened already. What you really mean to say is, I'm not a bidiyevid Jew, I'm a Shas al Chak Jew. Shas al Chak means, you shouldn't, that's not a good thing to strive for also. But Shas al Chak means that if there are very extenuating circumstances, so we have a clause called Shas al Chak in the Eved, the things that we would normally accept in the Eved, we'll accept for Shas al Chak even l'chatchila. So if you have a woman who has difficulty doing bedikas for a variety of reasons, and the post were very lenient, then you can fall back on the bedieved din, which according to the Balam, what happens to be l'chatchila din, but we view it as a bedieved din. Sometimes not a rabbi will recommend for women, don't do bedikas in a week, just do day one and day seven, or whatever the minimum bedieved is. How many bedikas is a woman supposed to be doing during each day of Shivanikiyim? So this was a machlekes of Rishonim. So some of the Rishonim say, one bedika, 100 bedikas, one bedika. So anytime during the course of each day of Shivanikiyim, lechatchila, she should be doing a bedika. That's what some Rishonim say. And other Rishonim disagree. Other Rishonim say, no, that the sugya is the beginning of Maseches Nida. When they talk about a woman, this man, there used to be Osefas and Taras. We mentioned this earlier, this a couple of weeks ago, that in the olden days, when women would be dealing with Tumah Tara, so Chazal wanted to be really, really certain that they were Tahoros all the time. This would apply even to girls who weren't married. This was Hilchos Nida for across the board. So anytime a woman was Osefas and Taras, she was required to do multiple Bedikas during the day. She had to do Bedikas in the morning, Bedikas late in the afternoon, because she never wanted more than 12 hours to go without knowing what her status was, because otherwise it's going to be metame or the tyrus retroactive that she touched. So you wanted her to be in a routine. She'd wake up in the morning, do a bedika right before she went to sleep, or before it got dark, she'd do another bedika, wake up the next morning. She'd be always in the mode of knowing exactly what status she was in terms of Ruchas Nida. So you see, the days of Chazal, they used to have two bedikas a day. So some shared them right. So we don't have tyrus, was known as it. So the only bedikas that we do are Shemitah bedikas. Some of Shem right that you should do two bedikas a day, just like in the days of Chazal, we did two bedikas a day for Taharas, so too we do two bedikas a day for Shem Nekiyim, to which other Rishonim responded, well, the rules have to do anything. That was Taharas, that was a special Chumrah of Taharas. We're counting to know, is it a Yom Nakiyah, is it a Yom Sofer or not? Well, you have to do two bedikas, well, one bedikas is good enough. So even though it's a very compelling Svara, what the first group of Rishonim is saying, Ma Inyan bedikas Taharas, the bedikas Baila, but the Shukrach wants the Machmir, the Shukrach writes, again, this is all the chetchila. So a woman should count herself each day of Shemini Kiyum, and she should count herself. She should check herself each day of Shemini Kiyum, and she should check herself twice a day: once in the morning when she wakes up, once before it gets dark, before Shkia. Every day, a woman should have 14 bedikas during the course of Shemini Kiyum. So that's although it does appear like that in Shulchan Aruch, Poskim are also lenient about this. When women have difficulty, a lot of women get irritated when they do bedikas. And sometimes they end up causing themselves more trouble because they start to irritate themselves, they get a scratch, and then they start to bleed, and there's blood, and then we have no idea where it's coming from. Have to go run to the doctor, it becomes a big balagan. So the many Echorim write that if a woman has any kinds of complications in terms of doing these excess bedikas, so she should fall back on what the Ikra Din really is. So the Ikra Din, one a day is good enough. The Shulchan Aruch writes that you should do two a day in deference to those who shine him. But the Ikra Din is, even the Ikra Din L'Chachila is really one a day suffices. Since the Shulchan Aruch holds the other opinion, so we recommend to do that, unless the woman is having difficulty. So then there are other Rabbanim, contemporary Rabbanim, wrote the opinion that we know the woman's going to have trouble. You tell a woman to do so many bedikas, a lot of women have trouble. It's common that women have they get irritated in that area. So maybe we should tell them what the Ikra Din is. Maybe we should follow the first group of Rishonim. We should only tell them the Chetchila one bedikah day. So yesh v'yesh. So if you look in regular Svarim, regular English Svarim, because neither you won't see this, what you'll find is the following. It'll say, a woman should do two bedikas a day, each day she has a kiyum. If a woman is having difficulties, she should consult a rab who will guide her how to minimize this bedikas. That's usually the lingo, or give or take, you find the English Svarim. Then you have other Svarim, other Rabbanim, will say that you don't have to wait for you to have a problem, since we suspect you may get a problem in Chila, and the whole two a day is a very hard chumrah to understand. So maybe look at Chila, we should just do one of those. Yesh, yesh, there are different practices today. But again, I'll be intellectually honest, in most circles, they never even heard of it. In most circles, it's two a day, that's like, sure, that's the Kalatim, just teach two a day and show it. If you have a problem, you can solve it up. But in some of our circles, so there is another psach floating around, and one a day would also be sufficient. There's there's something, some magic number about, I'm trying to get all the numbers right, about the number 16. That something about when a woman does, when a woman goes to the, I've got to make sure I got the myth right, when a woman goes to the mikvah, so she is accompanied by 16 different malachim. So who are the 16 malachim? The 16 bedikas that she did before she got to the mikvah. What are the magic 16 bedikas? So there are 7 bedikas, 7 days of Shemini Kiyum, 7 times 2 is 14. She also did a Hefsek Ta'ara, and she also did a Moch. So somehow, Tzapi Kabbalah, the number 16, is supposed to be special. I don't know anything about this, basically the Shtaros, but it has something to do also with the amount of times that we dip a finger into the Yayin on Pesach night, because it's the Esa Matos, and the Dam Ba'esh Mitzimus Oshon, and the Tzach Hadash V'yachad. So there's some in Sifrei Kabbalah or something, there's some kind of connection that I have no idea what it's talking about, but there's something between the two. So I remember once somebody was telling me that, somebody else in Israel was once telling me about it. Yeah, when a woman goes to the mikvah, malavinota, you know, shesh yashrei malachim, you have the 60 malachim who are accompanying her. I pointed out that I've sent women to the mikvah many, many times with less than 16 malachim. I said I've told them to do one bedikah, not to do a moch. Okay. I sent women to the mikvah with a minimum of 3 malachim at her side. So I guess that's a bedieven malachim. We're only good enough for 3. But again, we shouldn't make light of these things. We don't understand these things. But up here, this is what appears in Shulchan Aruch. Forget about everything else. But anyway, getting back to that story. So what is the minimum? How many tachlis must she do, which is absolute bare bone minimum? So the Mishnah quotes machlekes atuyah, machlekes atanoim. What do you do if a woman did a bedikah on day one and day seven? So one tana says, sorry, even b'diav, to be sure it's no good, and she has to start all over again. If the whole shibra kib is bottle of a vuttle, either the rice and the rabban, depending on what you think about bedikahs, and she has to mamash start all from scratch. And Rabbi Akiva, that's a very unique sheet. Rabbi Akiva says, she doesn't have to start off from scratch. She still has 2 days on a cheshbin, but she needs another five. So Rabbi Akiva says the first day counts, and the seventh day counts, but she's only up to day three tomorrow, so she needs another 5 days. And then the Mishnah quotes the third opinion, Rabbi Eliezer, but then says, no, b'diavad is good enough. As long as you have tchila b'saif, that's also good enough b'diavad, she can go to the mikvah and let him go. So, strangely enough, we pass like Rabbi Eliezer. The reason why I say strangely enough is, that the Gemara says the Masechas Nida that we very rarely pass like Rabbi Eliezer, especially if he's arguing with Rabbi Yeshua, especially if he's arguing with Rabbi Akiva. This is one of the Yotzim in a Klal. So the Gemara says, yeah, it's one of the Yotzim in a Klal. We have a lot of Klali Apsak in Tanoi, but the one thing that overrides all the Klali Apsak is when the Gemara itself tells us otherwise. So the Gemara in the beginning of Masechas Nida says that this is one of the four cases in Tumbatar we follow Rabbi Eliezer, even against his colleagues of Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Akiva. So one thing, Gemara gives us a clear cup sock at the end of the day. Then the story's over. That was the hachra of the Chachmei Gemara. Once the Chachmei Gemara machriya something, that takes up the status of psach bebezin agadol. That's it. We have no shad, no hesitations. So in Shulchan Aruch, we have no question. All the Rishonim in Shulchan Aruch asking that halacha Rabbi Eliezer, that day one and day seven is all that's absolutely necessary, at least on a b'diavad level. Then the Gemara has a further shayla. What if you don't even have day one and day seven? And according to Rabbi Eliezer that we passed in life, what if you have day one or day seven? So Rabbi Eliezer speaks about what's called Tchila V'Sof, and now the Amoraim say, well, does Tchila V'Sof mean you need both? Was Rabbi Eliezer only talking to Divrei Rabbi Akiva Rabbi Yeshua? Since Rabbi Akiva Rabbi Yeshua were talking about one and seven, so Rabbi Eliezer went along in their discussion. But if you'd ask Rabbi Eliezer himself, he would say, either one is good enough. Either day one is good enough, day seven is good enough. So Tchila O'Sof, so that was the Machlekes Amoraim, with Tchila V'Sof, Tchila O'Sof. That's a machlekes of Rishonim Hani Paskin. Everybody agrees we follow Rabbi Eliezer, but we're not sure which version Rabbi Eliezer to follow. And that's what the Beis Yosef said to Suffolk Chorus. That was the issue that the Beis Yosef was talking about. So that's a big machlekes of Rishonim. So Rova Rishonim Paskin, that's the way we follow Rabbi Eliezer, we hold the lenient version of Rabbi Eliezer, Tchila Osof. So Bedikah that's done any time, either day one or day seven, Bedieb would be good enough. And some Rishonim hold that and say, no, we follow Rabbi Eliezer Lekula, but we follow the Chumra version of Rabbi Eliezer, we insist at least on day one and day seven. How do we paskin halacha on that shayla? So we said the Shulchan Aruch is machmir that shayla, because he calls the Suffolk Chorus, whatever that means, literally figuratively. But that's already a very complicated shayla, because this shayla comes up. These shaylas really, really happen. Sometimes a woman will forget to do bedikah day one, she'll forget to on day seven. And also, she's standing in the mikvah, like, about to forget to do a bedikah today. So now what do you do? So according to Rabbi Rishonim, as long as she did either day one or day seven, the average she can go to the mikveh now. And according to the minority view of the Rishonim, which is quoted the halacha Shulchan Aruch as the final halacha, that she cannot go to the mikveh now. So how should we follow? Should we follow the Machmir? Should we follow the Mekidim and the Shabbos? As Shulchan Aruch says, L'chumra, so Chassam Sefer writes in a tshuva, that the Medrash Memurim that were Machmir and the Shaila, that's if she didn't go yet to the mikveh and wasn't yet with her husband. What if she didn't even realize the Shaila? She did a bedikah on day one, or she did a bedikah on day seven, didn't do anything else, and she went to the mikvah, she's home, she goes to the husband, but the next morning she realizes, oh, you know what, I forgot to bedikah on day one. So she calls the rabbi, and the rabbi says, you didn't do bedikah on day one, you shouldn't have gone in the first place to the mikvah last night. So now what? So Chassam Sofer writes, Chi Agav, such a shasachach, one says, oh, she's with the husband, read such a desire to send her, tell her to go do more bedikahs and go back to the mikvah again, so it doesn't look right. So Chassam Sofer says, under no circumstances, the Yevid, we rely on the Mekilim from here on in. So it's based on that Chassam Sofer that Tzemach Vernon raised the following types of questions. What if you have a really, really big Shasachah? A woman forgot the Bedikah, and now she doesn't want to do it tonight, it's going to be a big Balagan, she won't be able to go tomorrow, and the next time for a weekend, it's going to be a whole complicated story. But do we have a right to almost say Shasachah ki Yevid Dolim? Do we have a right to let a woman go to the mikveh knowing full well that she didn't do the quote-unquote minimum amount of bedikas according to the standards of the Shulchan Aruch? So we say that the Shulchan Aruch was really only a chumra bi'alma, that the ikar din is like Rav Rishonim, as the Chassam Sofer says, because he's willing to let it go with the Yevet. So just as the Chassam Sofer lets it go with the Yevet, maybe we should let it go if you have a shasal chaki b'yevet dolly. Here you have different nuances in post-kibbutz, the last several generations. do we have any right to be mekel under these kinds of circumstances? So some rabbanim are of the opinion we can't go against the outright Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch paskins that it's a problem, so we have no right to go out against Shulchan Aruch. And there are others who are molding me. There are others who say that Shas L'Chag Gadol, maybe we can negotiate, even though we let it go to the mikvah in the first place. So sometimes the Shas L'Chag Gadol is an issue of Shalom Bayit. The husband gets very, very upset when this happens. And there's serious issues that we're concerned about. So some Rabbanim will look the other way and say, hey, that's called the Shas L'Chag Gadol. Again, this is case by case that Rabbanim have to try to figure out. Even though we said that this whole idea of getting away with so few bedikas, letting you get away with one bedika during Shem Nikiyam, is against the Shulchan Aruch, it's something that we should not be advocating. We have to be honest, that the Shulchan writes that, he was a Rabbi Litta in the Vardak, so he writes that in his communities, so he writes that this was common practice, that women were not doing a lot of bedikas. He said it was hard, it would irritate, Maislach, so he said the women were being instructed to do one bedika during Shem Nikiyam. You get the impression that they weren't even doing 1 in 7 for the Rech HaShulchan. They were doing one bedika during the kollel in a day. So they were mamash being noeg lemaisa. What the Shulchan Aruch says was the suffix of Goris. But the Shulchan Aruch said, you're not allowed to do. And we're very, very weary to do such a thing. But that apparently that seemed to be a valid practice in certain communities in Europe. We don't follow that. That's not our minhag b'zman hazeh. But just to be aware of the fact that such a custom did exist in some communities that the Rech HaShulchan was referencing. So our starting point is that we're going to be very, very strong to insist on bedikas day 1 and 7. Bediyev, and into the facts, so maybe 1 or 7 is going to be good enough. So then there was a further machlokes like Rishonim about naniach in the world of bediyev, or the shas l'chak bediyev, whatever your standards are. What if it's neither 1 or 7? What if it's day 3? A woman did a bedika in the middle. So maybe day 6, day 2, day 5, she did a bedika. Is that the equivalent of doing it on day 1 or day 7? If you hold you need 1 and 7, obviously that's not good enough. If you hold that you need just either day 1 or day 7, are those numbers dafka? Because it's almost like the chil of a sof. So we say, no, any day would be good enough. So the Rashba writes that he thinks that any day is good enough. What's the difference? Once you're already accepting one bedika, what's the difference? So if day 1, day 7, day 2, 4, 6, 5, 3, whatever day it is, one bedika is bediyev good enough. That's what the Rashba writes. And the Ra'al, the Matul to the Rashba disagrees with all that. So he says that 1 is special and 7 is special. Somewhere in the middle is not special. If you want to, bediyev bedika, 1 or 7, what's the svara? So the Ra'al says that if you do bedika on day 1, so we can consider that the beginning of the count. And the count always continues by itself. 1, 3 dots, v'chulei. If you do day 7, so day 7 kind of counts all the days from beforehand. You do day 4, so there's the hinnish there. What kind of a star is that? So that's a throwback. What are you doing bedikas for in the first place? That Ra'ah seems to be assuming that the goal of bedikas is to get the count going. The goal of bedikas is not to prove she's not bleeding. The goal of bedikas is to be a maisa sfira. Then I can begin to understand that a maisa sphere at the beginning is a better maisa sphere than in the middle. A maisa sphere at the end is a better maisa sphere than in the middle. But the Rashba said, if day 1 and day 7 are good, what's wrong with day 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6? So the Rashba seems to be going more in terms of trying to prove, is there dam or no dam? So the Rashba says, if day 1 proves for the whole week there's no dam, so why can't day 4 prove the same thing? So that question that we had about the woman who doesn't have uterus anymore, and she asked the bedikas, seems to be almost like it's a Rashba at all. That's what it appears to be. Particular Rav, when I first had the Shaila, somebody was telling me over the Shaila, they said they spoke to one of the big Paiskim, not one of their Rabbanim Yeshiva, they spoke to one of the big Paiskim in Chasnida, and he told them that they don't have to count Shem Nikiyam. A woman who no longer has a uterus, even though she has to go to the mikvah because she was married beforehand, there's no need for her to count Shem Nikiyam. So I thought that Psach made a lot of sense in light of the fact that there are all the big Bechidish. They say that the goal of Bedikas is to create a Maisa Svira. That's the whole thing. It's not that it did to be Machzik, but a Maisa Svira, that was a big Chiddush. We don't really follow that Ra'ah. And that's what the Rech HaShulchan, when he quotes that meaning in Litta, that the women would only do one Bedikas during Shem Nikiyam. If I'm not mistaken, I don't think they did it necessarily in day 1 and day 7. I think the Mashmaos of the Lash of the Rech HaShulchan was that sometimes during the Shem Nikiyam, everyone would know she has to check herself one time. The Rabbanim weren't even insisting to do it on day 1 or day 7. That's already a cooler. So we're not going to follow that chila, but at least that notion that the goal of bedikas is not really, really sphere oriented, that would impact this. But if the child of the womb doesn't have a uterus, so probably wouldn't be required to do any of the counts, any of the bedikas. She would have to count Shem Nikiyam, but she wouldn't be required to do any bedikas. Okay. put everyone in charge of remembering where we left off. Hopefully, at some point in a few weeks from now, we'll try to resume.